been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us during this four-game losing streak. We're in uncharted waters here in Baltimore, but thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Joining me as always, he's my ride or die, he's my my bus trip buddy, he's my tailgating friend, Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, welcome back from a tough road trip, man, but it was fun, wasn't it? It was a blast. I had to admit, it was still a blast.
I gotta say, there were some good times, there were some bad times, but the best part is that there's plenty of stories to tell. That was a crappy game to go on the road for, man. That game sucked. There's no other way to put it. That game really sucked. But I gotta say, going on the bus trip, the tailgate, meeting some of the Jets fans, some of them were actually really cool. The ride home was like the ride from hell, but
jeez, dude, from traffic to puking to, yeah, it wasn't us, to bathroom was out of order for a good bit. It was like we got punished. It was like, okay, Ravens lost, but you guys are just going to endure hell, living hell, like the whole drive home. I'm like, a 3-hour trip easily turned to 5 hours for me, and I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it was a good time. Let's go through the whole day, all right? Let's just, before we talk about the game, let's talk about our experience on this road trip, all right? So, guys, last Friday, we got an email from Jimmy's, who was doing the bus trip or whatever, and it said,
best crab cakes ever, by the way.
Oh, very good, very good. I don't know if they beat Fadley's down in Lexington Market, but they're pretty close. They're pretty high up there. But so we get an email saying, all right, just so everyone knows, the bus leaves at 5 a.m., not 6 a.m. So you got to get to Jimmy's early. So, like, that means I'm waking up at, like, 4, getting in the shower or whatever, heading out the door to be at the Jimmy's at 5. You got there before I did, but we both got there before 5 o'clock. We also got there before the bus had arrived, and the bus wasn't there at 5, wasn't there at 5:15, wasn't there at 5:30. Finally showed up at like 5:40, 20 minutes before we were originally supposed to leave. And the Jimmy's crew, they're like, they know what to do. They know how to pack a bus up. They know exactly what they got to do. And like, it's like clockwork for them, man. It was boom, boom, boom. They just kept rolling.
Dude, it was awesome just to see them pack the bus, and I really can't wait to go on another trip with them. They rocked. It was like clockwork. They knew what they're doing. We collaborated with BMR Around Town, and I know I posted the picture and I shared it with you. Did you see like Brian from BMR Around Town gave a speech, and did you see the difference from like 6 years ago till now, and like how big the party's grown, and how it doesn't matter what the team's record is on who's playing or who's coaching. We still go on the road and enjoy. It's just about atmosphere. And I told you, just walking around and mingling with the fans. And I said, this is what it's all about. I even got to see people that I knew from back home in Bel Air. So they took another trip. Fan Man was up there. There's a lot of a fandom, you would say. And it just felt like I was home on Ravens Walk. It was just phenomenal. And even Jets fans were like, dude, you guys are everywhere. I'm like, man, we travel hard, dude. Ravens Nation worldwide, and we mean every bit of it.
Yeah, so it was really cool. So, like, we got on the bus. We're driving there. They took a pit stop in White Marsh, and that was a little weird because we just kind of sat there for a little bit. But once we finally hit the road, able to get some shut-eye, it was kind of cool seeing, like, the sun rising over the Susquehanna River. That was cool. But like you said, we got to MetLife Stadium around 9 o'clock. Again, Jimmy's exits the bus, and bam, they're setting up the grill. They're setting up the bar. They're setting up all the food. And, again, 10 minutes, these guys were ready to roll. There was a DJ. Be More Around Town had a couple buses. I mean, walking around with you was like, you know, walking around with a paparazzi or something. I mean, constantly people asking to take your picture because of all your getup and everything. And like you said, you saw people you knew. It was really funny seeing a lady come up and be like, do you sit in section whatever? I sit five rows behind you. So it was really funny to see like such a tight-knit group coming in and supporting this team.
It is, man. And now you get to see firsthand. People wonder why I do what I do. And you get to vouch for it. You were there. You see what I do. You've seen my outfits. You've been to some games with me. And this is why. And anything I do, I always like to separate myself. You know, yeah, I could be a normal fan, wear my jeans or sweatpants and shoes and beanie and my Ravens sweatshirt and blend in with the crowd and be like everybody else. Not to discount everybody else, obviously. You know, we're all fans 100% through and through. But you know me. I take it to another level, like fan man, and I dress up. And I like that because I get remembered. It was like the usher in the stadium when I was walking to and from the concessions. He's like, I'm going to remember you. Like, it's just kind of like you make that impact. And, like, I want to just to show people that it's about having fun. Yeah, your team might suck or we might be playing bad right now or whatever, but it's about having fun. And I like doing that. You know, it's great to see, like, hey, and she even joked. She's like, I don't think if you're in street clothes, I would have recognized you because people don't know who I am out of that. So it's great to see that they only knew me for that. And they wouldn't really know me outside. They're like, oh, you don't have your get up. So it was really cool to see like people in my section that sit with me. I saw another guy. He's like, dude, I sit two rows up from you. So section 517 was definitely well represented in the tailgate. So and just being there again, dude, our seats were amazing. We had an amazing time. The play that happened to start the game was right in front of us. It was just a treat to be 23 rows from the front of the field in that stadium. It was a nice stadium. You were vouching for it. It just was a great time. You know, yeah, the game sucked, and we'll break that down. But just overall, party atmosphere in the morning. The food was phenomenal. You got, what was that, the hoop DT or whatever you, what was that thing called?
Yeah, so like the bar, the drinks that they Jimmy supplied us with for the tailgate, it wasn't like, you know, Coors Light, Bud Light, that's it. No, it was like top shelf stuff. I mean, it was craft beers, it was like some Twisted Teas, but they also brought in liquor. Like they were doing shots and mixed drinks and stuff like that. Top shelf vodkas, rums, all that kind of good stuff. And there's a company in Ocean City, it's a brew company called Backshore. They make something called hoop tea. And it's in like a baggie or like a, I don't even know what to call it. It's in a, like a big bag with a spout at the bottom, and you put that into a glass, mix it with some vodka. I was drinking those in the morning. I figured that was a good morning drink, which that was fun because I've never had hoop tea before. I always wanted to try it. I got my shot. So it was definitely a fun time. The tailgate was a blast. It was so cool having Jets fans come up and say like, man, you guys know how to do this. You're doing it right. This is really cool. So you and I decided around like noon, we're going to head to the stadium, find our seats. We go in, we take some pictures. Snoopy statue was still there, even though MetLife fired him last week. I was happy to see Snoopy was still there. You know, we're checking out the field, and we get to our section, and we go up to the usher, and we're like, hey, how you doing? Where's our seat at? And the usher was like, all right, you just want to take a couple more towards the field, and you'll get to row 23. And I was like, holy crap, we're still going down? Like, we're further down, closer to the field? And we were in row 23, literally 23 rows off the grass. And
yes, sir.
I've never sat that close for any sporting event. Well, wrestling, but that's sports entertainment, but whatever. But I've never been that close for a Ravens game or a football game before. That was really amazing. MetLife Stadium is a beauty of a stadium. I mean, yes, I do love M&T Bank, but man, this place is massive. You feel so small sitting that low because there's so many people above you. But we sat down, we got to hang out, and some Jets fans were around us, of course, and they were like, hey, did you guys come up from Baltimore? And they were asking us about Baltimore, asking about Camden Yards. But, dude, we got to talk about the people that you sat next to and I sat next to. Some of the coolest sports fans I've ever met in my life. The most chill people that were like so welcoming. I've told this story before, but like 4 years ago, I went to a Redskins Ravens game, and I vowed I would never go to a visiting stadium again because I was treated so poorly at the Redskins.
You broke your
vows. Yeah, and I was like, you know what? We found a really good deal. It's Ravens Jets. It's not really a big rivalry. Why don't we? I'm going to give it another shot. And these people made it okay for me to be at that stadium. They were so cool. They were so talkative. I mean, I asked them about the Bruce Springsteen concert that was at MetLife earlier. They were asking us about Camden Yards. Such a cool, such a great couple of people to sit next to. Really.
But that's what it's about.
Exactly.
That's what it's about, Brandon. It's not about F you, F your team, this, that. It's about, you know, talk. I mean, yeah. We're wearing each other's colors, like we're wearing Raiders colors and wearing Jets, but it's like, but we're still people. We're still camaraderie. You know, I may go to that with Steeler fans. You know, I do it all the time. Yeah, we poke and, you know, prod them and poke them and Steelers suck. But at the end of the day, we're people and it's good to make relationships out of that. The relationships outside the game is bigger than football. So I've always loved that. You know, yeah, it sucks sometimes when you're like, oh, I'm friends with Steelers fans and whatnot. But, I mean, it makes good conversation, good rivalry. But, you know, we're not here to hate on people, you know. And you see too many violence. And, I mean, it's just a game. You know, it's a game for sake of entertainment. You know, it's like I'm going to get, you know, riled up over that. It's just we're bigger than that, man. And that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, and that really made it for a good experience. It was – the game, again, not the greatest. We'll get to that, but let's talk about this afterwards. So we're leaving the stadium. Nobody messed with us leaving the stadium, going through the tailgate lots, get on the bus, and of course there was two Jets fans there, again, cool people, but they were fighting with a couple Ravens fans. Everybody at this point was drunk, which is why you guys are getting a show this late into the week. The original plan was for us to record it on the bus on the way back, but man, the people on this bus were angry, they were annoyed, they were not happy, and we thought it was best to keep
the cranky.
Yeah, it was best to keep the equipment away, so people weren't like getting in our faces or whatever and trying to grab the mics and stuff. So that's why we didn't do it. But it was really funny because bathroom went out of order. People still used it. We were sitting next to the bathroom, so that smelled. The dude in front of us would wake up from like a deep sleep and just start hurling on the floor. I'm hoping there was a bag or something and it wasn't just him puking onto the floor, but dude puked like four times on the way back. Then we're like, we get through Delaware. We have a backup because there's construction. We hit the Maryland line. I'm hungry. I call Jimmy's up. I tell him I want some food. Literally, I hang up my phone and there's an ambulance that goes just screaming, screeching. Past us, and I'm like, that can't be good. That's not good at all. We look it up on Twitter. It's like a 4-car pileup, 13 patients, it said, and that 95 is completely closed. So then our bus driver gets off in Bel Air. We take a rural tour of the Bel Air area. He follows buses that are going to White Marsh, gets on Bel Air Road, and never gets back on 95 until people on the bus start yelling at the dude. He finally gets back on 95, and he's, like, booking it down 95. He's using the easy pass lanes. He just wants to get rid of us. So, a trip. I think we left MetLife Stadium at 4:30. We didn't get back to Jimmy's until 9. So, man, it was quite a long trip back. It was not a fun trip back because everyone was drunk and angry and annoyed and cranky and hungry. And it might have been a little bit different if we had won. But overall, it's such a fun experience. You can't control how much other people are going to drink and how a game's going to go. But overall, I had a blast on Sunday. It was awesome seeing a new stadium, meeting new people, tailgating in a lot I've never been in before. An absolute blast. I had such a good time. Wish the outcome for the game would have been better, but what are you going to do? Still can't control it. Still a good time on Sunday.
Dude, yeah, it was a good time indeed, man. And I really can't wait to get to next year to see what next year brings and hopefully we can do one next year, man.
I hope so. I mean, I definitely had a good time. Jimmy's knows how to tailgate. They know how to throw a party. They know how to get some great seats because we were in the end zone 23 rows right off the grass. So I'm definitely down for that. I want to do it again. But let's talk about this game if we have to. Good God, what the heck was that, guys? Honestly, where was the offense? Where was the defense? Did the Ravens know this was a game day? I feel as if, like, you and I should have been on the field. We could have potentially done a little bit more than these guys did. Started off great. End zone, there was a missed punt. And what's his name? Number 10 got his first NFL.
Chris Moore.
I was saying Chris Brown in my head, and I knew that was wrong. Chris Moore got his first NFL touchdown. I thought I was like, man, if this is the way it's going to go all day, this is going to be great. But that was the end of the Ravens doing anything, was that missed punt. Josh, what the hell happened, man?
Dude, I know we're all frustrated. And what basically happened is we're very pleased to see what we do the last 3 weeks to start off fast, but then they fade. And if you look at the seven games, the 3-0 series that we won, we didn't get off to a good start. And our mantra going into the Raiders game was, we need to start fast, okay? But what's happening now is we're starting fast, but then we're not finishing. The Ravens, we always joke, they're a second-half team. They always lose in the first half, but then find a way to win. Well, it's the tale of we need to piece it together now and get two complete halves. First three games, we have the great first half, or we play a sucky first half, great second half. The last four games, we played a great first half, and then the wheels fall off, and it's just they go in halftime, and they just get a game plan to go to mail it in. The Ravens at halftime at this Jets game, they had the game in hand, basically. The statistics looked great. The score was still decent. I'm like, okay, great. Come out in the second half, make a few plays, come out here to win. And the wheels just fall off. Mistakes after mistakes. Same old play calling, same old penalties, same old, same old, same old. And here's the thing. We are 16-14, winning by two. Flacco throws two critical picks. The Jets get 7-3, which is 10 points of our final outcome was 24-16. 10 points off turnovers is crucial. And there's three plays here that to break it down. It was the Alex Lewis call, the holding call, when the Terrence West run. Yes, that holding call probably sprung him, was called, got taken back. That and the two interceptions where Flacco threw him. The second one, I actually have to break down, but the first one, Perryman's got to start running routes. But those three plays right there, they were the ball game. I'm not going to fault Timmy Jernigan for trying to advance the ball. Yeah, Mosley fumbled the ball trying to reach for the goal line. Even Jernigan joked, said, now I'm going to fall on fumbles from now on. But it's that play instinct. Taking the ball, getting with it, just don't falling on it. Again, that was a turning point too, but I'm not going to pinpoint it on that. And overall, the mistakes are still there, and they got to be cleaned up, bro, and the injuries are showing. We held Matt Forte in check most of the day, but basically the game plan just it unraveled. It unraveled quickly, and I'm going to show you a glaring statistic, man. Ravens, 6 yards rushing. That's a joke. That can't happen. You can't win a football game with 6 yards rushing. We're throwing it. And I've took the liberty of looking this up. Do you know Joe Flacco in the league right now through week 7 has the most pass attempts in the league? No one's not even close. He's throwing the ball, attempting to throw the ball the most in the league. We're not built for that, man. We're built for running the football, getting sound, possession receivers. We don't have – even the Patriots, as blazing as they are right now, aren't even throwing it that much. So, and they got Brady and Gronk and Edelman. So – they got playmakers. Not to say we don't, but we're a different type of football team. We don't have A.J. Green. We don't have Antonio Brown. We're not built to chuck it up and have a Julio Jones get a 300-yard receiving game. We are not built for that. We're built for running the football, which we've always been, taking care of the football, and methodically moving the ball down the field with timely plays, not doing what we're doing now. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but something's got to give. But I don't know if you dug into this, but do you know the Ravens actually held a 2.5-hour session, a tough love session? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Harbaugh called for a team meeting. It was all hands on deck team meeting. The team met for 2.5 hours. They broke down the game film from the Jets and called people out. Harbaugh actually, I'm actually pulling this up for us. I'm going to actually pull the presser over. Because he goes into great detail about it. I'm going to pull this up for us. But yeah, he held a 2.5-hour tough love session. And he said that basically he was calling out players and calling out accountability, because this is where we need the Ravens to be held accountable. Everybody says it's about coaching. I'm still a firm believer in Harbaugh. It's definitely not coaching. It's the execution on the field. Perryman's not running routes. People are not tackling. We just got to get back to the fundamentals and make it fun again, guys. But I definitely want to cue this up because Harbaugh had great things to say, and here it is, guys.
It's a big part of it, yeah, sure. And we have great guys. It starts with relationships. We have great relationships, and I do like and love our guys. I told one of the guys in the meeting today, you know, I love you, but I despise you right now on that play, you know. And you guys get it. You know, they're okay. So it's all about, you know, it's just pushing them and coaching them and trying to just teach better football really is where we're at. We're not going to have a problem for 1 second of our guys doing everything possible to play the kind of football we need to play. But what we do need to do is get it there. And really, we don't need to wait. And I've been impatient for quite a long time, and they know it, and they've been impatient for quite a long time. But you know what? We don't get to control everything in life. So we just got to keep digging, and that's what we'll do.
Keep digging, guys. And that's the message I want to preach to you, to Ravens Nation, is we're 3-4, but see, Harbaugh's holding his confidence. How many times have we despised our team on some plays, man? Holding calls, pass interference, chucking the ball up in the air with Flacco off his back foot, people not running routes, losing leads, making bad decisions, fumbling the ball. I mean, there you can go on and on and on and on. But again, at the end of the day, we still love our team. Like Harbaugh said, we still love our guys, but I despise you on that play. I love that because he's calling people out. You know, that's not going to fly. He's saying, hey, I love you. You're awesome. You're an awesome person. You're an awesome player. But look, I hate that. That can't happen. And I love it. It was a 2.5-hour tough love session. Last and seeing there, not to point directions to 2012, all the biceps injury, and we'll get to that with Suggs, and that happened in 2012. And remember the whole mutiny thing, and we got trounced by the Texans like 40-something, like 44-14, I think. And it was, the team held a mutiny meeting, and all, and it was crazy, and accountability. Then all of a sudden, we got it together. Again, I'm not pointing correlations here, but it's just we have the right pieces in place. We have the right leadership, I believe. We have the right people, the coaching staff, the players. We need to get healthy. The bye week comes at a great time because players need to get healthy. That's the staple we need to drive home right now is players need to get back. It's really hard right now when you're playing with your second and third stringers, man. It's just very tough.
All right, so I think this might be the first time that you and I kind of disagree on something here because – I agree with you. We do have a good coach. We do have a good coaching staff. However, there's something going on with how they are coaching and training these guys because this is the second year in a row that we've had, you know, so many injuries affecting this team over and over and over again, and we've lost key players. And that's another thing that worries me is that I don't know if the front office and the coaching staff are doing their job in the offseason and adding depth to this team because, if yes, there are backups, but obviously a lot of these backups suck.
They do.
To be perfectly honest, they suck. There's no depth, and if you're not adding depth to the team, then you're not doing the job of looking towards the future because a lot of times backups become the main guys when people get old or lose a step or two, and it's not working. Look at this game. Look at the people that were missing. C.J. Mosley was out this game, and look at how they got every play started. Their quarterback was throwing right up the middle, right where C.J. Mosley is normally would be.
That's where Forte got his touchdown, right in the middle. He's wide open.
Exactly. Without C.J. Mosley there, this team was lost. Didn't know what they were doing. And it was crazy that they were running the ball so much because there was no Doomerville. There was no Suggs. There was no pass rush. There was no, right. Like, why didn't they pass it more often? I'm not going to complain about that with the Jets with their play calling, but they decided to run the ball a lot. And
then the fan next to us kept saying that the fan even knew. The Jets fan, he's like, dude, you guys should use Pitta because we're bad against the tight end. And they were weak in the middle. So, I mean, it goes both ways. If the fans can see it, the coaching ain't making adjustments. But, you know, we might disagree on that. But one thing we could probably agree on is the whole thing is about getting healthy. Like you said, our backups are getting it done. And I feel that the Ravens, have that hole in the middle. We drafted over the last 3 or 4 years, Arthur Brown, Sergio Kindle, and I can count countless players. These guys haven't panned out. And Breshad Perriman's starting to be one of them. And you can count them go on and on where the Ravens now got to plug in players where there's a void in drafts, where these draft picks. Matt Elam's starting to come back. He was another pick, and I'm happy to see him, and we'll cover that as well. It's just – it's really – like I told you in the last shows, it's hard when the discipline and train these guys to not do penalties when it's patchwork. When Stanley's out and Lewis is out and this guy's out and this guy's got to be moving here and Yanda's not there – it's going to be hard. I mean, these guys are NFL pros, but they're not first stringers. And when you throw them into the mix and they're playing against the first string defense in a live NFL game, mistakes are going to happen. And it just sucks that we got to wrap everything up back in the preseason and drive all the way back to that point in the season where maybe they should start playing starters more in preseason. Stop worrying about injuries. Stop babying these guys. Let them go out and let them learn. This is, it's called practice. These are exhibition games. They're fake games for a reason. They don't count for a reason because you need to go out there and fix what needs to be fixed. Instead, we're doing it midseason, and it's really irritating.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you and I are going to agree here on Breshad Perryman. This guy doesn't look like he's going to pan out at all. I hope he proves me wrong by the end of this year, next year. But this was supposed to be the second coming of Torrey Smith. And you got to remember, rookie year Torrey Smith, he made plenty of bad drops. You know, he was not the greatest player in the world. He was learning. So I understand right. Perryman's learning as well. But Joe Flacco is throwing the ball to him at a Jets game, and Breshad Perryman is 20 yards down the field from where the pass went. He's running the wrong plays. He's running did he not do his homework the night before? What is this guy doing? I don't know if Breshad Perryman's going to pan out right now. I'm not convinced he's the player we thought he was. I think we all should have been convinced of that last year when he got hurt on the first day of training camp. But
right.
Joe worries me right now. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that he's an average quarterback. He's not elite. We've been over this over and over and over again. It's a broken record. Joe isn't playing like an elite quarterback this year. And yeah, he's hurt. We can definitely tell. But I think there's a lot of things going on in his head that he's not talking about. Because if you look at this Jets game, you watch it on TV, Joe looks scared. Joe looks nervous. And I understand the O-line is not there protecting him, but he doesn't want to get hit. I understand that hurts, but he can definitely, it's affecting his play. He's throwing off his back foot. He's trying to get the ball out as quickly as possible so he doesn't get hurt. He's overthrowing. He's underthrowing. I'm not putting all the blame on Joe, but at this Jets game, he was panicking. I don't want to see a guy that is under pressure to panic that much. He was scared on Sunday.
Definitely, and I mean, I can see it. It's coming off his back foot a lot, and basically what's happening is it's affecting – he's not driving. So, again, you know, I'm not in the coach's room. I'm not in the film room. I'm not seeing what's going on behind the scenes, but I would love to know what those mechanics are being talked about because we see it week after week. But it correlates with pressure. With the Lions patchwork at best and he's running for his life, I mean – how many times I watch the Packers game and a Patriots game this year, and I see Aaron Rodgers have 5, 6, 7 seconds, same as Brady. Their line's healthy and their line's solid. And when that happens, you allow receivers to get open, they run their routes crisp, and they're getting the ball delivered. I mean, it's – again, I always say football. There's 11 guys on offense for a reason because everybody's got to do their job. When one guy doesn't do their job, it all breaks down. If the receiver runs the wrong route and it's a timing route and the line doesn't block – long enough for Joe to get his read and get it there. Everything's timing in the NFL, especially with a offense. Defenses, you just got to be there and do your job and make your coverages and make your assignments. Offense, everything's about precision and timing. Hit the block at the same time the running back hits the hole, and if it's wide open, the running back's going to get the lane created for that run. Screen passes, you guys got to have your block set without holding on the edges because what happens is the runner runs by you, and there's a holding call, and it negates the game. Everything's timing and precision in offenses, and we just need to be more finessing instead of being more aggressive because I think what the aggressive nature is, a lot of penalties are happening, a lot of mistakes are because the Ravens look like they're trying too hard or trying too fast. Instead of letting the game come to them, it's actually not coming to them, and it's going away because we're making mistake after mistake. And we'll see what happens in 2 weeks when we reconvene and playing some football games. I mean, a bye week's much needed right now in week 8. Couldn't become a better time with some injuries and getting everybody that healthy. Suggs returned to practice this week, which is great. Yonda, I mean, we got to get Mosley back. Who knows if they missed that? I mean, we can count all these big names on the injury report, but they all need to come back. And we joked sitting in stands. You know, Dennis Pitt is the healthiest player on this team. Yonda and Suggs return. We get people back. And I don't know if you saw this quote from Suggs, man, but it was powerful. I know I shared it on the website, but this is Suggs. Quote, "Who am I? What team do I play for? I come from an era where this is just a bump in the road. This may be season-ending for somebody else, but it's not season-ending for a Raven." That's powerful. And that's Terrell Suggs right there. And that speaks volumes is there's no quitting this team. Yeah, it might suck and we're losing 4 games, but we're not getting blown out 30 points in these games. Again, it's the same tune as last year. One or two plays, one score game, we fix it. And I'm thinking these things are correctable. But it remains to be seen. I hear it every week. It sounds like a broken record, but the fact that remains is, Ravens fans, we're one game out from a virtual tie in the division. Who knows what might happen? We have all of our division games basically backloaded. This second half run's going to come. We know what our identity is now. We're not a good football team right now. Even Joe Flacco called the team out and said that. He said it right on record. We're just not very good right now. But back end of that statement, right now, it's not like we're not a good football team, period, and that's it. We just suck, and we're the Browns are 0-7. You want to be the Cleveland Browns cut, and you want to cover them? Then let's move to Cleveland and cover the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Ravens are 3-4. Even a Browns fan in the office said, at least you guys won some games. We're 0-7. Because I even joked and said, you know what, we're so bad, the Browns might get their first win against us on Thursday night. And I was joking about it, but who knows? I mean, we lost to the Jets, but he was like, at least you guys got some wins. At the end of the day, there is a positive spin. Be grateful. We're one game out in a bad division right now. You know, luckily, the Steelers have their own injuries and have their own identity crisis too, because they got some weapons. Bell, Ben, Brown, and they got problems, and they've only got one game better than us. So they're 4-3. There's some bad football around in the league right now, and it's definitely doable. And if you look at the playoff picture, bringing this in the late in week 8, you might see, Josh, really, the Ravens hold the 8th seed in the AFC. The 7th seed goes to the Bills, who are one game better than us. Their 4-game winning streak got snapped. And right now, as it stands, if we can hold that and teeter it, who knows what this division might look in the if the Ravens can squeak out wins with these divisions and we end up 8-8 and 9-7 and they can win a division, who knows? But I was just joking with my dad the other night. I was like, dude, if we just somehow get on a run and get in a dance, they would almost virtually have to go 6-3 the rest of the way. But it's doable. But right now, we need things fixable before it's doable. The bye week comes at a great time because we need to get guys healthy and we need to start right now.
That's right. Bye week is coming. We don't have a game this weekend, so hopefully the Ravens can come back stronger. We know that Terrell Suggs and Marshall Yanda came back to practice today as we're recording this on Tuesday. So that's a great thing to see. I'm a little bit more excited to see Marshall Yanda back than I am Terrell Suggs at this point, because Joe needs as much help as he can get. Let me ask you, I don't know what's going on. I thought I heard last week that Ronnie Stanley had practiced all week, full pads, and then they had him inactive against the Jets. Why hold him back another week?
I don't know. I mean, I've been looking at that injury. It's one of those mystery injuries. Even the Ravens are playing this one close to the chest. I haven't really seen anything on the injury report that indicate otherwise. Obviously, I think he will be back, obviously. I mean, if he's not back after a 2-week bye week after his issues right now, cause for major concern. But I'm actually looking at it right here. Let's go. Boom. We got Dimmerville out. Shoot, this list is long. Yeah, Dimmerville, Yanda, Suggs. Where's Stanley? Stanley's injury is a foot. Yeah, obviously, we know he missed the last 4 games and they've been all losses. Maybe that's correlation because Stanley's not in there. We're not winning games.
That's what I think.
This is really weird. But right now it just says he feels well enough to play, but it was coaches and trainers' decision. So I'm hoping he comes back at the Steelers game. If he doesn't, it's going to be a big, big, big question mark.
All right. So I think that's pretty much it for this game. Josh, have we covered everything?
Brandon, as exhausting as this all may be, as frustrating this as all may be, we cover this one. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
And like I said on Facebook, this last game was pitiful. That's right.
Love it.
Pitiful.
Told you, when you sign off.
All right, guys. So here's the plan. No Purple Friday preview this week because we have nothing to preview. It's as simple as that. We will be back early next week, though, with a new Red Eye review where Josh and I, we're getting together this weekend. We're going to do a video podcast. You'll still get the audio like you always do in all your podcast apps, but we'll be putting out a YouTube video, and we're going to do a Red Eye review of the season so far as a whole. So that should be pretty fun. Look for that Monday or Tuesday next week. That'll be the next time there's a podcast out. But make sure you're still following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook. You can continue the conversation with me on Twitter @BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. We are going to keep you guys entertained. We're going to share stuff as news breaks on that page. We're going to send you some videos, photos during this bye week. I don't know if you guys checked it out or not, but the NFL has actually uploaded Super Bowl 47 on their YouTube page, the entire game. So that'll be pretty cool to watch. Maybe I'll watch that on Sunday instead of no Ravens game. Get a little bit happier times during this bye week. But we'll share that on our Facebook page. We'll be doing all that kind of good stuff, and we'll be back next week. So, guys, do what you can. Be social with the show. Even though it is a bye week, still wear your purple. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan through and through. You're not giving up on this team just because they lost four in a row. You listen to the call and tell all your friends that they should too. Write us an iTunes review. It kind of helps us stay relevant in the iTunes world, and it lets iTunes know that we're doing a good job. Let us know that we're doing a good job as well, which is really nice of you if you could write us a nice little iTunes review. I know there's a lot of options out there, and we're very fortunate that you guys spend some time with us each week. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Again, thank you to Jimmy's for the bus trip. That was a lot of fun. Be more around town. Thanks for the tailgate. Jets fans, thanks for being some cool people. MetLife Stadium was awesome. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Got it, Brandon. Thank you so much. And guys, it's been rough. I ain't gonna lie. You know, sugarcoat it. It's been flat out sucky, rough, frustrating. How many times, you know, and I still love it, but how many times I wake up on a Sunday morning excited and end up the day cranky and frustrated because you're like, you know what? It just seems like the same old broken record and something's got to give. But you know what? We got to hold true. We got to hold steadfast like success. We're Ravens. This is just a bump in the road, you guys. We're 3-4, might suck, a run game under 500, 4-game losing streak. Dude, I even joke with Brandon. Dude, after the Jaguars game, me and him watched together, we're 3-0. We got a couple home games in a row. Dude, even if we lose one, we're going to be okay. And then 4 weeks later, we're like, oh my God. So now, can't hit the panic button. You know, it's not hope all is lost. You might hear a lot of on the national media. You might hear a lot even in local media. But I say, you know what? Let's just line up and play football. We got the Steelers in 2 weeks. They got their own issues. We got our own issues. But if we just take care of one game at a time and get back to 500, 4-4, and back to winning, think we can end this. Think we can end up getting this and get all of our Ravens healthy. Tired of playing doc every week and seeing who's on the injury report and who's not. We need to just get back to the winning ways where we had it 3-0. We need to get back to that. Guys, we were down 20 in Cleveland. That was a feat. If we get through anything, and maybe we have to get back to old Ray, man. No weapon. We just got to get back to that. We got to get back to that mentality and say, you know what? We're not going to let anything defeat us. We're one game out, and I'm going to hold on true to that. Ravens Nation, rest up. Enjoy the bye week. Enjoy watching the NFL. I know the Ravens aren't on. It's going to be weird not waking up on Sunday morning with no game, but we know games are coming up on the horizon. Take care this weekend. Rest up. Have a safe holiday weekend. Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high into this bye week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.